All right, praise the Lord. Well, Jesus is a superstar. Amen. Well, good to see y'all here in the sanctuary tonight. And those of us that are online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, Come, Now's the Time to Worship. Is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God, come, come, now is the time to worship, come, now is the time to give your heart, come, just as you are to God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me. The sound, amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, it covers me. Covers me. It covers me. It covers me. amazing grace. How sweet the sound, amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, it covers me. 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 It covers me.
Please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Just about, almost. Now you can hear me. Okay, great. Super duper deal. Well, we want to take a few prayer requests before we get going here tonight. And thankful for our Wednesday night crowd here with us. And we're thankful for those watching online with us. And I'm always amazed when we look at the number on the YouTube, you know, how many views we've had. Not all of those are our people. I'm always amazed. People tell me, I hear often, well, not every week, but I do hear from time to time, this person from this church down the road watches you every week or, you know, quite a bit of time. It's good outreach for our church, you know. Hopefully, be great if we could get some folks that have, you know, never been to church, kind of afraid to go to church, and get them watching, you know, and getting into the Word with us. But it's always good to have people watch us online and here in person. Kind of spreads the thing out. So, amen? That's a good thing. All right. Well, let's do take some prayer requests. Brother John, please don't turn that up. Okay. I turned it up to 74, brother. I turned this one off. Yeah, because I didn't want to freeze these people out over here. But I've got a fan blowing the cold air up on me, so I'm trying to make a compromise. Heat them up over here and freeze me over here. So ice box me here and 76 it over here and 74 it over here. So, and maybe it'll be about 75 about where I stand. We'll see. AC fixed almost? Coming Friday. All right. Very good. All right. Want to continue to pray for that. 8-1. Amen. This Friday. Yeah. All right. We want to pray for those poor folks and families over there in Florida, Surfside. Y'all been keeping up a little bit with that. Building collapsed. Have you seen that, Brother James? Oh, my goodness. I can't remember how many units in the building total. Yeah, it was 2/3 of the building that went down. 11 stories tall. You can look it up on news channels or YouTube. It's horrific. How many? Yeah, they've got that up to about 20 now, as of this afternoon. Yeah, so they're digging through 11 floors of rubble, and so they've got teams all the way from Israel that have come over. Teams from Europe. I can't remember. I think it's a couple hundred people that are digging by hand, moving all. You know, it looks like a small 9/11. That's what it looks like. It's just horrific. So I want to pray for those folks in Surfside, Florida, tonight. Florida. All right. I want to lift up Brother Paul McCormick tonight. Brother Paul is going to be having a biopsy on his lung. Left lung? Left lung. Did get the PET scan. And doctor says we need to biopsy that thing. So we're going to have a biopsy. But the good news in all the midst of the news is that where this thing is that they think may be is in a very operable part of the lung. So that's good news. Amen. The doctor thinks he can get it if he's got to go get it. So that's some good news. So amen and amen. So we'll be praying for Brother Paul tonight. Surfside, Florida. What else? Other prayer requests? Yes, sir, in the back. Yeah, Jim Honaker? Yeah. Okay, Penny Honaker. Honaker. Passing of Jim. Very good. And then we've got Miss Doris Davis that used to attend here, I don't know, before the pandemic. I mean, you know, she wear the mask and the gloves before masks and gloves were cool, right? She was wearing that stuff before it was in, right? She went home to be with the Lord. she died a week ago? Yeah, funeral was down at Bethel, and graveside was off of 59, I think. But anyway, remember the two boys that used to bring her? Can y'all remember the boys' names? I cannot remember their names to save my life. But anyway, we want to pray for those her sons, Doris Davis's sons. And you ain't going to believe this. Well, maybe you will. I don't know. Brother Ronnie of Aculik went to the funeral, and he brought me back the program that they give you. Did you see it too? She was a fashion model back in the day. They had pictures of her 30 years ago, 40 years ago. You're like, what? Wasn't she? I mean, really? I mean, it was just blow you away. But she was a for real fashion model, Doris Davis. So, 61, passed away at 61 from cancer. So, want to continue to pray for her sons and her passing. And then we've got Bill Neal. Brother Bill has undergone his procedure to have his a trach put in. And so the cancer in his throat was closing off his airway and not allowing him to breathe adequately. So they put that in. And then he's in a room. We got to see him on, I want to say, Monday? Tuesday we saw him, maybe. Was it Tuesday we saw him? Yesterday. Yeah, we saw him on Tuesday. Days running together. Saw him on Tuesday, and he was in ICU, but by the end of the day, yesterday afternoon, they had put him in a regular room. So I want to be in prayer for Brother Bill. He'll be receiving, my understanding is, he'll be receiving 6 treatments of this drug called Keytruda, which is some kind of immunotherapy drug. So not really a surgical patient, not really a chemotherapy patient, but they're going to try this immunotherapy. Looks like 6 doses of it, starting here in about a week after he heals up from all this putting this trach in. So continue to pray for Brother Bill. Oh, really? He got a little bit of talking out, huh? No, he didn't write us notes. He was still in ICU and was pretty hooked up. He was in ICU when we saw him. He had the procedure done on Monday, and so they had not put him in a room yet. He wants to talk, boy. Yeah, I'm telling you. Hadn't done it. Okay. All right. Yeah, he's over there in HCA North Houston Cypress campus, off of 290 and Huffmeister. Yeah. Were y'all able to park? Oh, my goodness. Man, we showed up. We were 2 buildings down and trying to figure it all out. It was crazy. It was crazy. All right, Brother Bill, we'll keep praying for him. What else? What else? Yes, in the back. Oh, my. I don't think any of us could afford that. I mean, I might be able to afford it 1 month. Your house payment went up $1,000. Whoa. Salvation and apartment. All right. Well, amen. We'll lift up Dave's salvation and his apartment situation. That's tough, 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 man. Yes, sir. Unspoken. All right. Unspoken. Got it. What else? What else? Yes, sir. First name? Paula? Okay. Okay. All right. Paula Corbin. Very good. Was she from Missouri or is she from... She's from Missouri. All right. All right, all right. What else, what else? Yes, ma'am. July 12th. Men's and women's Bible study. Okay. I heard. Who told me? Yes, you did. Telling you good news. Well, I hadn't told it to the church, so go ahead and tell it. Hallelujah. You know, I think you found a new model for fundraising. I would just move on from here, girl. I would do a Sunday fellowship chili cook-off and just have church people and people that want to come, and then I'd just do you, whatever you did this year. I'd ride that horse till it's dead. Huh? D.L. Moody? Amen. School opens? Yes. Yeah, there you go. Amen. Amen. Very good, very good. Outstanding. All right. Okay. That's great. School. Fun. Razor. Very good. All right. What else? Yeah, Brother John. Oh, amen. Yeah. Cleanup crew, they sure did. All right. Very good, very good. What else? Anything else? All right. I don't know. John, why are you sitting way, way back there? James wants... Okay. James wants to know why you're sitting way, way back there. Oh. Huh? Oh, no. All right. Well, is there anything from our folks online? Okay, do we have some folks online with us? Okay. Oh, that's great. All right, man. Very good. Yeah, Bobby. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Okay. All right. Kidney tumor for Kelly White. Kelly White. All right, brother, we'll do it. All right. Is that it? Has that got everything? Amen. All right. Well, let's gather around Brother Paul. We want to pray for him first, and we'll get that going tonight. And then we'll. Does it bother you if we gather around you? Can we gather around you right here? Yeah, amen. Is that good for you, Brother Paul? Amen. All right, amen. All right, very good. Well, let's go. Let's commence to pray. Dear Jesus, we come to you right now, Lord. We thank you for Brother Paul and for Miss Pat, Lord. We just pray for Brother Paul's health. We're lifting up his body, God, to you. And we know you're the great physician. And Lord, this is not a shock or a surprise to you, what's going on with this left lung. And God, we're praying that your Holy Spirit would touch him in such a way that however you want to work, God, if you want to work through these doctors and surgeons and and chemicals and drugs to remove it, Lord, we pray you do that. If Lord, if you want to just touch his body and just miraculously remove it as just a miracle healing, and God, we lift that up to you, Lord. You're the sovereign God. We selfish, we just want him touched and we want him healed. And he's a brother in Christ and sister in Christ here. And Lord, we're burdened with them and we're hurting with them. And God, we're anxious with them. And Lord, we're praying for peace. We're praying for understanding. But God, we're praying for your healing in the midst of all this. We pray that Paul and Pat lean upon you, God, and just lean into your word in the midst of all this. And Lord, may you give them the answers and may you give them what they need every step of the way as they go for this biopsy and as they talk about the options and all of those things. But God, we just put this situation in your hands. We lay Brother Paul at your feet. And Lord, we pray that you give him back to us whole and healthy. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your healing hand. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. You bet. You bet. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, part two. We're going to pray for the rest of it now. Shall we? Amen? All right, let's go for it. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again, and Lord, we are thankful that we can bear one another's burdens, and we're thankful for the power of prayer. We're thankful for the power of a praying church and a praying people that are saved, that love you, that seek to lift up the burdens of others and care for others and seek to minister to others through prayer. And Lord, give us that great confidence that we can speak to you at any time about anything, and that God, you so love us and so have us as a possession and keeping us for all eternity, Lord, that we can just speak to you freely. We certainly want to be reverent. We want to be cognizant of our own sin in our life as we come to you, Lord, but we can come to you day or night, 24/7. God, you're there for us, and we praise you. We thank you for that. Lord, as we seek to lift the rest of these prayer requests and praises up to you tonight, we pray for this situation going on in Florida and Surfside, and Lord, we pray for these people that have lost loved ones, and Lord, we pray for those that are waiting to hear. They know their family members are missing, and they're holding out for any shred of hope that their loved one might be alive inside of some pocket of debris down in the midst of all that. Lord, there's been fires, there's been water intrusion, there's been all kinds of stuff going on in that pile for these last several days. Lord, I pray that be thy sovereign will that anybody else survive that. God, I pray that they're able to find them and find them quickly and get them the medical care and the treatment that they need. I pray you might give someone just a miraculous deliverance, and that they might praise you the remainder of their days here on this earth as this great testimony of being delivered out of this mass of concrete and rebar and apartment building. God, just be with that situation, Lord. We pray for all of these crews that have come from all corners of the world to help out in this situation. Keep those folks safe. Watch over them, the dogs that are there, the animals that are working that site. Lord, I pray you watch over them, keep them safe. Lord, we pray that situation, that loss and that tragedy, out of it you would bring something great. Some blessing, some huge amount of salvations. God, we pray out of the loss that there would be a windfall of glory brought to your name somehow, some way. But God, we lift those people up in Surfside, Florida. We pray for their comfort, and we pray for their time of need right now. Lord, we do lift up Penny, and we lift up Doris's sons and the passing of loved ones. We lift Penny, of course, the passing of Jim and Doris Davis's sons. Lord, we pray for them and the passing of their mom, and we pray for comfort and for peace for them. Help them as they go through these coming days and weeks and months and this next year and a half. 2 years, 3 years, God. Just be with them. Comfort them. Lord, show them your grace and your mercy. We pray you would put other Christians in their path and other people that love them in their path to just help them during this time and encourage them. Lord, we lift up Brother Bill to you tonight. We pray that his body would be ready to receive this immunotherapy. And God, we pray even now that you would begin to shrink the cancer in his throat and the cancer that's in his lung. And Lord, we just pray that his body be ready to receive this immunotherapy, and this immunotherapy would do what it's been created to do, and that Bill's own body would attack this cancer and reduce the size of it, and he would be rid of it, Lord. And we pray that you might bring him through this, and that one day in the future, whether that may be 6 weeks, 6 months from now, God, he's able to get that trach out of his throat, be able to talk and swallow and do all those things that he so loves to do, God. We lift Brother Bill up to you. Pray for Miss Karen. Comfort her. We pray you give her and her family, her friends, Lord, all those folks that are going to see Brother Bill at this time, give them safety as they travel up there to HCA, North Cypress, Lord. Watch over them as they come and go in the midst of all that traffic. Just be with that situation. Watch over them, Lord. We lift up Lori's friend to you tonight, Dave, her co-worker. We pray for his salvation, God. And I pray that this situation with his apartment and this incredible increase of rent, God, I pray you just give him wisdom, direction. Lord, show him the way to find that place to live in which he can't afford, God. But Lord, we first of all pray for his salvation. Thank you for Lori's concern, for her lost friend. And Lord, we just pray that you might use Lori, use circumstance, use other Christians to sow seeds of the gospel in Dave's heart and bring him to salvation. Lord, we lift up those that have an unspoken tonight. We pray for those unspoken requests. Pray, God, that we might trust in you for your perfect timing, that we might lean upon you for understanding when we just can't simply understand it, what's going on, how it's working. God, I just pray you ease our anxiety, you ease our stress, you help us with patience, thinking about these unspoken requests, what they represent, the pain that they cause us. Father God, we lay these things down at your feet tonight, and Lord, we just pray that we are able to pick up some grace and some mercy in exchange of those things. Thank you for hearing us another night, another opportunity, another time as we lay these unspokens down at your feet. We lift up Paula Corbin to you, Lord, part of Christian Builders. We pray for her diet and her decisions, and Lord, everything she's got to change with this potassium issue. Lord, I pray you help her get that right and get back going and doing what she so desperately needs and wants to do. Lord, we lift up the men's and women's Bible studies that are getting ready to start back after quite a long hiatus with the pandemic. Lord, we pray that be a fruitful time of fellowship and Bible study as, Lord, some of the men and some of the women of the congregation and visitors come together to read your word, study your word, talk about your word. We're thankful for that, Lord, and we pray that that be a fruitful time. Lord, again, the school fundraiser, continue to bless that, and, Lord, that's just a great blessing. We praise you for that. We know that's from you, from the hand of God, and we just pray, God, that you'd continue to bless the school. We're praying for new students this year. And, Lord, used to think about 50. Now we're thinking about 60, God, and perhaps even 70. And, Lord, we just pray you open that door. And those that are unhappy with public school or unhappy, Lord, with homeschool or just not getting it done at the private school they're at, Lord, I pray that they might consider this place and give these educators an opportunity to minister and to teach their kids for the glory of Christ. So, Lord, we lift up the school. We thank you for the fundraiser tonight. Thank you again, Lord, for the cleanup crew, these ladies that came up and spent the better part of yesterday on the facilities, the Sunday school classes, the nurseries, getting those things ready for getting things going back again. Lord, we're thankful we can do that and come back in a big way. But, Lord, thankful for them. Pray you multiply their efforts and bless their time. And, Lord, we're thankful for them. Lord, we lift up Angie and Jack Adams to you tonight. We pray for Angie's cancer. And Lord, we pray that she goes to MD Anderson tomorrow. We pray they're able to diagnose and manage pain and get a treatment plan, Lord, and just get her some relief. Lord, we lift her up. Pray you give her the grace, the mercy, the strength that she's going to need to go through what she's going through right now. And then Kelly White, Lord, we pray for this kidney tumor and pray that they're able to biopsy that and get a bead on what they need to do and how they need to treat it. And Lord, we pray that that kidney be saved. Lord, we pray that if that kidney's not saved, that that other kidney's healthy. And Kelly's able to make it on the one kidney, Lord. But we pray in that cancer is, you know, or tumor or whatever that is localized to just that one kidney. And Lord, we're praying that they can reverse that, get that out, and that kidney be healthy again. Lord, thank you for your love tonight. Thank you for your salvation. And thank you that we have an opportunity to be in your word. We praise you and we thank you for that. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, well, let's take our Bibles and look at Revelation chapter 13. All right, you can bump that air up a little bit. If I'm getting cold, I know people are freezing. All right. Bump it up. Very good. All right. Revelation 13, did you get there? Revelation 13, you get it? All right, Revelation 13, we've been working on chapter 12, and now we're transitioning on here to chapter 13. Chapter 13 begins this way in verse 1. Those of you watching with us online, Revelation 13, verse 1, it says, "And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. They worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast, who's able to wage war with him?' There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. It was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints." So we're beginning to tackle the first 10 verses of this 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. And you'll remember in our last several Bible studies, we specifically dealt with what? We dealt with the devil's eviction from heaven and the implications of that incredibly momentous event. Namely, there's no more square footage for the devil and his evil entourage to make accusations against the saints. That all comes to the end during the tribulation. The devil being thrown down, however, you remember what we said, he is all wound up, he's incited to really step up his menacing attacks on the nation of Israel and the Gentile tribulation saints, those that get saved after the rapture of the church. Now, that's the scene when we pick up our passage this evening and we begin to talk about the devil's Antichrist. Now, the Bible calls this person the coming world ruler. The Bible calls this individual the man of sin, the son of perdition. The Antichrist gives us an opportunity to see how Satan operates. Okay? You want to know how he operates if you're going to defeat your enemy. You need to know what he does, how he operates. The devil is the sly counterfeiter. He's the deceptive imitator, if you will. He sees the great and awesome image of the triune Godhead, and he seeks in his warped conscience to attempt to duplicate what is holy with what is unholy. He wants to duplicate what is holy with what is unholy. And I say attempt, because he never even gets close. I mean, it's a poor attempt, but he does attempt. Now, you certainly can't appreciate the awesome truth that Jesus, the real Christ, the only Christ, is a revelation of God the Father. In John chapter 1, John writes the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, John writes 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. John writes the book of Revelation. So in John chapter 1, there are three verses that are worthy of note. You want to look them up, you're more than welcome to them in John chapter 1, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You know these verses. I would imagine you know these pretty well. John 1:1 says, in the beginning, those of you with me online, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I think I mentioned that verse Sunday morning. And then John chapter 1, verse 4 says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then notice what it says in John chapter 1, verse 18. It says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. I love how that says that in the New American Standard. He has explained Him. What does it say in the King James Version? Does it say explained in verse 18? What does it say? Anybody got a KJV? NIV? Other translation? What do you got, James? King James Version, what do you got? New King James. What does it say in 18, John 1:18? Yes, sir. At the very end there. John chapter 1, verse 18. No, you're good. Yeah, King James. Yeah. Declared Him. Okay, that's King James. What does New King James say in 1:18? No. The Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter. Oh, yeah, you're all right. No, you're good. John chapter 1. John the Gospel. Yeah.
No one has seen.
That's right. Yep.
The only begotten Son who is in the
declared Him. So King James, New King James says declared. I like what the New American Standard Version says, explain. Pretty close to the same thing. The word explain, the Greek word that we have, translates declared in the King James Version and the New King James Version. The word explain translates the Greek word that gives us our English word, are you ready for this? Exegesis, all right? The word means to narrate, exegesis. The word means to explain. The word means to lead out. The word means to draw out. So the word explained in preaching, we use exegesis to draw out, and we use exegesis to explain the truths in the text. We're trying to draw those things out of the text and explain those out to the people, right? When Jesus came, He came to explain, declare. He came to declare, explain, to lead out. He claimed to narrate Almighty God. In other words, Jesus Christ was and is God in the flesh. He was able to say in John chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. He was also able to say, which is recorded in John 14, 9, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Jesus is God incarnate. He is God in the flesh. With the Antichrist, Satan attempts to duplicate this relationship between Jesus Christ and God the Father. He attempts. Poor attempt, but he attempts. The Antichrist will be a living, breathing revelation of the devil. He will be the devil incarnate. He will be the devil in the flesh. Now, we know that our God is a triune being. All right, triune. He is one God who manifests himself in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, right? All three are one God, yet each is an individual person. They come together to make up the Holy Trinity, or what your pastor and other theologians call the triune Godhead. Well, in Revelation chapter 12, which we've covered, and in Revelation 13, which we're beginning again tonight, we are introduced again to the satanic trinity. Satan very, very poorly, I might add, seeks to imitate God the Father. The Antichrist imitates very poorly, I might add, to imitate the Son, and is referred to in this chapter as the beast coming out of the sea in verse 1. There is your Antichrist, okay? There is your Antichrist. The dragon, that's Satan, that's the devil, right? And so the Antichrist is the beast coming up out of the sea, but there's something else here. We've got a trinity. There's a third player involved. The false prophet seeks to imitate very poorly, I might add again, God the Holy Spirit, and he is referred to further on down in the passage of chapter 13 as another beast coming out of the earth. So the beast coming out of the sea is the Antichrist. The false prophet, which represents the Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead, comes out of the earth. All right? One comes out of the sea, the Antichrist. The other one comes out of the earth. All right? Now, we have seen the Antichrist before in the book of Revelation. That's not anything new. So let's reinforce what we have learned over a year ago and what we've tried to review here in these last several weeks and try to perhaps exegete this passage on the Antichrist. These verses give us some incredibly important details concerning his mission, his methods, and his miracles. Now, remember that this chapter 13, along with chapter 12, are part of what is called a parenthetical statement. All right, parentheses. All right, it's a huge parenthetical statement. It reviews events already covered in the book, and even has a mini summary and an ending of the age within this parenthetical statement. Now, as we begin tonight talking about the beast, talking about the Antichrist, we want to talk about the appearance of the beast, because that's what we cover in the first two verses. It says, and the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. Verse 1 kind of tells us how he originates, right? How he originates. The sea, in this context, refers to the abyss. All right, it refers to the abyss. Based on Revelation chapter 11, verse 7, we can look at that right quick. Chapter 11, 7, Revelation. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. And then you can go forward and look at Revelation 17, verse 8. It says, the beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction, and those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. So, this interpretation of the sea being the abyss is in harmony with the Old Testament, which also uses the metaphor of the sea to picture the realm of satanic activity. Some of those references are, if you want to just take a jot note or jot a note, look those up later, is Job 26:12. That's Job 26:12. Psalm 74, verses 13 and 14. Psalm 89, verses 9 and 10. In Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1. We know from our Bibles that some of the demons are currently incarcerated in the abyss, per Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 11, and also referenced in Luke 8:31. And we know Satan will be imprisoned in that abyss during the millennial kingdom in chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. So Satan and his demonic don't go to the eternal lake of fire till after the millennial kingdom is over and the Satan and his demonic are released for one final showdown, hoedown, and then after that he is cast into the eternal lake of fire. This individual will come, this Antichrist, beast out of the sea, this individual will come from among men. In other words, while he may possess power that surpasses all the other great rulers of men, he will be nothing more than a man. Our reference for that is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. That says this, "Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God." At some point in his life, he will be indwelt by a powerful demon from the abyss. And so this demon-possessed man will be a gifted orator, speaker. He will be an intellectual genius. He will possess great charm and charisma, and he will have immense leadership skills and power. Added to those natural qualities will be the hellish power of Satan in the midst of that man. The result will be a person of superhuman power, vast intelligence, and a consummate wickedness. The Antichrist will be empowered by Satan, and he will wield tremendous power and authority. But unlike Jesus Christ, he will have a human mother and a human father. He will not be a God-man like Jesus. He will be a man who receives his kingdom and his power from Satan himself. Well, preacher, where will he come from, and what will be his nationality? Well, wouldn't that be something if I knew that? Amen? Wouldn't that be something? No one really knows. No one really knows. However, end time prognosticators, kind of like weathermen, weather prognosticators, end time prognosticators, through the years, they have suggested that perhaps a certain pope would be the Antichrist. Not trying to offend my Catholic friends out there, but a certain pope. I didn't say it. These prognosticators have predicted it. Some said back during World War II it was Hitler. That is correct. Some even after World War II thought it was Stalin in Russia. Or some have even said an American president. I remember back in the day when Obama was in the presidency, some thought it was actually going to be Barack Hussein Obama would be the Antichrist. Prophesying of the Antichrist Daniel chapter 11, verse 37 says, "He will show no regard for the gods of his fathers or for the desire of women, nor will he show regard for any other god, for he will magnify himself above them all." Now, this one verse right here leads many to speculate that he will indeed be Jewish by birth. He'll be Jew. But the fact is, no one knows, and anyone who claims to know 110% is speculating at best. They're simply spinning the wheels. Nobody really can prove anything here. Now, while all unbelievers are children of Satan, all unbelievers, people that are not saved, are children of Satan, per John chapter 8, verse 44, not Pastor Stephen trying to pile it on, but per John 8, 44, no one in human history will be more completely the devil's child than the Antichrist. Now, that's kind of how he originates. Well, that you didn't give us a whole lot. I gave you all the Bible gives us, right, how he originates. Secondly tonight, and real quickly, we'll try to start this. We won't end it. We're about 5 minutes to go here tonight. We want to talk about how he operates, right, how he operates. Again, verse 1 and 2. It talks about these 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. We kind of get a sense from that, you know, a lot of adjectives there, a lot of nouns, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of different names. Kind of get a sense there how he's going to operate. These verses give us a little insight into this man called Antichrist. The symbolic language tells us something about what kind of man he is, and also something about the nature of the kingdom that he will rule. Now, like the one who possesses him, Satan, the horns, the heads, and the diadems bear a family resemblance to Satan himself. You'll remember in chapter 12 we talked about those things. That same grotesque description was applied to Satan in chapter 12, verse 3. We've already covered that at length. The description of Antichrist emphasizes the importance of the 10 horns by mentioning them first and associating the diadems with them instead of the heads. The horns referenced here in this context and other places in the Bible symbolize strength and of course, power. Nobody wants to catch a horn, man. You want to catch a horn? Those people that run the bulls, where is that? Is that in Mexico somewhere? Well, you couldn't pay me enough money. My old arthritic body trying to outrun one of those bulls or two of those or the whole lot of those bulls. You know, they have people on the side. You know, I'd be about 10 yards in and I'm over the side. I'm out of it. Why? Nobody wants to catch a horn. Horns represent power and strength. And that's what's going on here, symbolize strength and power for both attack and defense. So specifically in this passage, the 10 horns represent the great power of the kings who will rule under Antichrist's absolute authority. Now, 10, the number 10, fits the imagery of the fourth beast in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, and again mentioned in Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. This is kind of where the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel really get close and really start touching each other and tying into one another and making all these intersections of truth and theology and everything else. So it's good stuff. Antichrist, or this fourth beast in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, and Daniel 7, verse 24, those of you with me online, is a symbolic number representing all the world's political and military might. So the Antichrist will rise from among these 10 for Daniel 7, verses 16 through 24. So he's going to have some credentials. I mean, he's not going to, you know, our last president, President Trump, he just kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, you know, never ran for political. Did he? Has he? I don't think he had ever run for political office. Never was a mayor, never was a governor. Just businessman, you know, commerce, a real estate. And just kind of come out of nowhere and won the Republican nomination and won the presidency of the United States. This guy, he's going to have some political credentials and some political aspirations based on Daniel chapter 7, verse 16-24. He'll not rule merely 10 nations, but he's going to get to the point when it's turned over to him by Satan that he rules the entire world per Daniel 7:23. Well, what about the seven heads? That's the 10 horns. Well, we've covered these when we covered the dragon again, when we talked about Satan, all right? The seven heads represent successive world empires, okay? And so, can you remember that? Successive world empires, all right? How many of them are there? Seven, all right. Where are we at? Revelation 13, verses 1 and 2, all right? We're working our way through Revelation 1, or Revelation 13, verses 1 through 13, right? Amen? Well, we're going to hit the brakes right there. Where do we pick up next time, preacher? We're going to pick it up with the seven heads, and we're going to be talking about the seven world what? Empires. Okay? Amen. Very good, very good. Those of you watching with us online, we want to respect everybody's time. It's 8:01. We've had a good time of prayer, good time of Bible study tonight. We'll hope to see you folks Sunday morning, those of you with us online. And those of you visiting with us online, come check us out. Come see it for reals, all right? Got plenty of room to space out and social distance. You'll have a good time if you come here. People will love on you, and if you need praying for, they'll pray for you. Amen? All right, well, let's have a closing word of prayer. We'll be dismissed tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for giving us the opportunity, Lord, to be in your word, to praise you, to sing songs of the faith tonight. We're thankful for the music tonight and the songs that Jeremiah led us in. Lord, those songs always get us ready to hear the truth spoken. And Lord, we're thankful for the truth tonight. We pray that we'd continue to be a people, to be a Christian, to be a church, to be a people on the narrow path, Lord. Help us stay off the wide path that leads to destruction. Lord, those that are on that wide path that leads to destruction, Lord, I pray that we would pray for them and we would encourage them and we would sow seeds of salvation in their heart and we would invite them to places of worship and we would talk to them about who Jesus is in our life and we would explain to them what sin is and that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And Lord, we would seek to help people get off that wide road and get onto the narrow road. We're thankful for all the folks that you've saved. And Lord, we know you're still in the ministry of saving folks today. And Lord, we want to be a part of you saving folks. We're thankful for that. We praise you for that. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. And side note, we are going to have baptism Sunday, so that'll be good, good, good. All right? Amen. Let's see, Brooke Hanzik and Whitney Hanzik going to be baptized Sunday. Amen. So it's going to be a good time. All right. Is that July 4th? Well, what a day to be baptized on. Amen. Well, that's a day of victory. Praise God. Amen. Are we clear on audio? Just about. Oh, you folks online, we'll see you soon. Going to have baptism Sunday. If you can come join us, it'd be great. Bye-bye.